Thank you, John. Donald, today's message is my 2026 New Year's resolution. I hope it'll be yours as well. The resolution is abide in Yeshua. Abide in Yeshua. This brings to mind John 15 and verse 7. And it says in the TLV, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done to you. The King James Version, the one I learned in the form of song. I don't have a keyboard to do a B flat, so I'll do the best I can. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. It shall be unto you. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. It shall be unto you. Last time I sang that song, that level was in Auburndale, Florida, doing a revival there. The pastor of the congregation, the brother of the secretary for the Church of God, Brother Tustin. He sang awfully, really good. His wife played the organ, that's all the music. She was so good at it that it filled that. But his resounding voice, if ye abide in me, let it go deep. And my words abide in you. Pure scripture. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. It shall be unto you. So the year 2025 is coming to an end just a few days from now. Have you thought about your New Year's resolution? I'm sure some have. My house was discussed the same thing we discuss every year. Beginning of the year, we're going to lose weight, etc., etc., etc. Okay. What should we consider doing in this pivotal year? What is the thing in our heart that needs to happen? I would like to share with you that at the deepest level possible, I believe we should ask the question, am I abiding in you, Lord? Am I abiding in you, Yeshua? And maybe this second question would be, how well am I abiding? Am I abiding? And then how well am I abiding? This is in the 15th chapter of John. Sam alluded to the 14th chapter of John. At least he did when he was speaking with me just before, minutes before he started. And the 14th chapter, of course, is famous as well. He has a great song in it. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. As I have loved you. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Awesome thing about chapter 14 is that it begins with just an awesome statement. So I was rejoicing in that statement. Sam was saying it to me. I said, I'm going to read it for you from the Bible. Yeshua says, you are my disciples. If you obey my commandments. Well, how many did he have? Many. Many more than 10. Maybe not as many as 613, but darn close. It's an interesting thing that in my former life, when I was a Church of God pastor, you know, no one was making too many big points about that. That the New Testament has way more mitzvot than the Hebrew scriptures. I don't like to call it old. Okay? Way more. And in fact, Yeshua took it to a different level. And he starts in Matthew chapter 5. And if you get through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, say, this is big trouble. Because before, it was okay if I just did it, but my heart didn't have to be in it. It was there all the time. It was required all the time. But because the commandments didn't address the heart, okay, then it became rote and it became just something you do. But Adonai's never been interested in anything but the heart. Adonai's never been interested in anything beyond what you're doing out. Out of you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Yeshua said. So what is the abundance of our heart? That it can speak the word of Adonai. The 15th chapter of John details beyond just, if you love me, he begins by, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. It's actually a treatise on love. Agape is the Hebrew word. Okay? Not the other two kinds a Greek word. Not the other two Greek words, but the Greek word agape. Well, how do you translate agape? Agape is love that doesn't have any bounds. Agape is unconditional love. Unconditional. But not only Yeshua speaks about his love, but he speaks about his Father's love. It's interesting that Yeshua and the Father have a love like Jacob has with his son, Joseph. Like Jacob had with his son, Benjamin, when he didn't have Joseph. I think that what's not recorded in the scripture is what way to end for Jacob. He got his son back. Okay? And it doesn't say much. It doesn't have to, right? You know that he was having a good time. We're going to have a good time with my two sons, the sons of the wife that I loved. Doesn't mean he didn't love the other one, okay? Which is what we think, okay? That he didn't love Leah at all. Don't go there. By the way, this favoritism it's a problem since Abraham. And we got a little more expounded in Isaac, because Rebecca clearly preferred Jacob, okay? And Isaac clearly preferred Esau. Okay, so that's second generation. Now in the third generation, it gets expounded even more. He loved his other 10 sons. Okay? He did. He did as a father. But he really favored. He did favor the ones from Rachel. It's clear. In a good way, the father favors his son, Yeshua. Yeshua is the beloved son, the only son of the Father. And he willfully sells him to the Romans to do us what they did do. I think it's important to focus on this abiding thing, because it'll give us insight into the love of Yeshua that he wants for us to have. I thought this would be valuable to look at this. And Jacob, you're good at this. So John 15, 9 through 17. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. I was taught how to love. My Father taught me. Abide in my love. Not just abide in Yeshua, but we need to abide in his love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So we prove that we are abiding in his love when we keep his commandments. The ones that he wrote in Sinai and the ones that he's talking about right here. Same author. The same person wrote all those commandments. Just don't tell them, we're only following the ones you said after you. And we want to reduce those to, the entire Torah is reduced to Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu and, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. So Yeshua is saying, I also show you an example. I have kept his commandments, and therefore I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. I love that. We came here to have joy. Well, how are we going to have joy? Are we going to scream? And yes. Are we going to whistle? Yes. Are we going to jump up and down? Yes. But we also will get full joy. We experience full joy when we lay hold of his word and act upon it in the same way that he acted on it. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I sang it for you a while ago. No one has greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. In times past, I've spoken about that particular example, laying your life down, not for your family. Okay, that's included. Hopefully, your family or friends. But even to just friends, which are not necessarily family members. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Oh. Well, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Yeshua. But I don't want to do what you said. Well, that's not going to fly here very well, right? I am no longer calling you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. Now I have called you friends. When you're down in trouble and you need a helping hand and nothing is going right, get yourself together and call my name out low, and I'll be running to where you are. This is almost a song about Yeshua, huh? Just call on my name, and I know wherever you are, I will come running. See you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be there. I'll be there. You've got a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I tend to forget that. I made a decision to follow, right? I came just as I am to the altar and gave my life to him. But he chose me. Now he's saying this. No preacher is saying that. He's saying it. We preachers repeat it. I selected you so that you would go and produce fruit. Ah. And that your fruit would remain. Ah. Then the Father will give you whatsoever you ask in my name. I like the whatsoever. That's in the King James Version. Whatever, it's in the more modern, the TLV. These things I command you so that you may love one another. So the decision to abide in Yeshua as a New Year's resolution is automatically to be able to fulfill it correctly. I will be in his word. I will be following what he said. And I will be loving like what he's talking about. Something I don't naturally want to do or do. Because that love is not really from here. Is it love from there, from where he is, wherever that is? I think it's sad to point up and say he's there when he said, I'm everywhere. If you go to the deepest part of the earth, I'm there. Well, I'm going to go to hell where you're not there. Oh, yeah. Well, David said, if I went down to hell, Sheol, you'd be there too. Can you get away from him? So what does abide mean? What does abide mean? What's that word, that key word they use it? It's used as a transitive verb and as an untransitive verb. As a transitive verb, it means to bear patiently, which also could be used to say tolerate. Is he wanting us to tolerate him? Bear patiently. Yes, actually, I think that's there too. To endure without yielding. That's called withstand in our language. To wait for. The word's called await. To accept without objection, that's a transitive form. As an intransitive verb, abide means to remain stable or fixed in a particular state. Stable and fixed in a particular state. To sojourn, which implies a moving in together. Abide has been in the English dictionary, in the language, since the 12th century. Today, the expression abide by, which means to accept and be guided by something or someone, is common. Related terms include abiding, meaning continuing for a long time, not changing. That's an abiding friendship. Abidance is continuance. The act or process of doing what you've been asked to or ordered to do. The same person who wrote this dictionary, Merriam-Webster, the one I'm using, said that, writes an article for the Word. It says, abide in the Bible is used and it's defined by the intransitive form, not the transitive. Okay, so, which means to remain stable or fixed in a state. As in the phrase, I'm quoting Merriam-Webster. As in the phrase, abide in me. There it is. Abide in me. Yeshua is asking his followers to stay constant in their relationship to him. In summary, abide implies endurance, which is a continuing, firm, resolute through trials and tribulations and difficulties, and suggests that we accept without resistance or protest. Okay, so it's not a it's actually voluntary. Put your gun away. Put your commandments away. Put your pressure, your thumb away. I'm here, Yeshua, because I want to be here. I want to endure with you. I want a relationship that goes beyond this, just a Saturday or... So I'm asking then the question, are we staying constant in our relationship with him? Do we have that quality of constancy? Even a little bit of this abiding is not happening. If it's not happening, like in the Ephesus congregation, that's in Revelation, the first of the seven so-called churches, which is congregations. We need to do something, right? What was the good thing that you've been doing great work? The Spirit of the Lord said unto the believers in Ephesus, but I have somewhat against you. Right? I'm quoting the King James. That's what I memorized when I was young. What was the somewhat against me? That you forgot your first love. And what was the antidote? Therefore, okay, do your works over. Do your first works over. Go back to the beginning. Remember then, let's quote it, where you have fallen. Repent and do the deeds you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your menorah from its place. Unless you repent, Revelation 2:5. Believers love the scripture, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, Yeshua said, abide in me, do what I said. We read it right here in John. And whatsoever you ask, it will be done to you. Whatsoever. The problem with humans is that we don't read the if part. We read the then part. If you delight yourself in the Lord, because he didn't put the if in front of it, and it's written without the if implied, delight yourself in the Lord also. And he will give you the desires of your heart. That's an if statement. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then you will be given the desires of your heart. And in fact, we could do a teaching that if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, the desires of your heart will be about the Lord. and will be about what he's interested in, which he'll be very happy to give you. But the problem is that the delighting of the Lord part is kind of forgotten, and it just becomes Yeshua is like a, you know, a kumquat tree that is growing in the Simkins slash Joyce property. It's abundant. They're wonderful. So are you delighting in the Lord? Are you delighting in the Lord right now? Are you concerned about him? Is it just that Marilyn gets up here and says, talks about his feelings? Are you concerned about his feelings? His agenda? His commandments? His abundant life, his reputation, his character? His desires for us? Or is it about our feelings? When the desire of the heart then becomes, well, that's what I want. Did you hear the word I in there? It's what I want. And there's a kind of a sense of entitlement that comes with that. What things do we want? Well, I want my feelings to be honored. And I want my agenda to be honored. I want my freedom to be honored. I want my life, my reputation, and my character. So is that what we're delighting for, so that I confess? Well, I need to confess that I find myself at times weak, and I find myself at times unfocused and not having much of this agape thing. I'm not having unconditional, genuine love, is another way to say it, for him. I serve him. I work for him. I obey him. Right? I do his bidding. I strive to be a true messianic rabbi and live a true messianic lifestyle. But the question wasn't, are you living a messianic lifestyle? The question was, are you delighting in him? Which is much deeper, because it's asking the question, you know, am I like in love with you again? Like at first. I think that if we delighted more, we would also have more of what our heart's desire is fulfilled. The question is, I need to delight more. That's where abide in me comes. Abide in Yeshua. I need to delight in Yeshua more. By the way, what does it mean to do the first works again? We can interpret that. The general interpretation is that this speaks of the times when we first came to him. Oh, by the way, what great days those were. When we got out of the pit, maybe some of you weren't in a pit, okay, so just humor me. I got out of a pit. When I got out of the pit, those were great days. Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We live a life we choose, we fight and never lose. Those were the days, oh yes, those were the days. Lie, lie, lie. There you go. For many of you that became believers after being in the pit, living in sin for a while, I'm sure you remember those days. It was bliss. Okay? We were actually soaring with the eagles, etc. For me, internally, I was changed. I came out of the pit, I was changed. And it showed. It changed my life instantaneously. I went to that church, just wanting to get done so we could go to lunch. I never made it to lunch. Instead, I made it to the mission field the following week and spent 14 years in that mission field. And I loved it. What did they ask me? They asked, what's going on? And I said, this is 1978, okay? So no messianic yet. No nomenclature yet. Jesus is real. And he's here. That means everything. I'll get in trouble. Jesus is here. My life changed. My attitudes changed. Everything inside changed. And I could tell you in an instant, I loved Yeshua. We knew his name even in the Church of God when I got saved. Okay, didn't use it so much, but we knew the name. However, for many that have been believers a long time, that kind of wanes. And then there's some of us here that never went to the pit. You know, you got saved early, like when you were a little kid. There was like no chance to get into that. Okay? Many of you have come from a church background. You have come from all of those things. You came to the Lord early in your childhood, and there was no drastic change like what I'm speaking about for myself and others here. I can speak for my wife, same. Maybe you didn't have an opportunity to live a sinner's life. That's Rabbi David Chernoff talks about that in Philadelphia. And maybe for you, the first love years were not as pronounced. So you just like, I didn't have that. Well, don't wish it, okay? Don't wish to have it. I'm telling you, you avoided a large train. Life is like a big train that comes through Brooker, Florida, about 11-something at night. And we are like 7 miles away or 5 miles away, and you can hear that thing. And it's going all around the Simpkins property. It starts on this side, and it goes around, and then it comes through the next little town. And you can hear it. Can't you hear it thundering in the distance? Regardless, I believe that we all need to repent and rededicate our lives again, ourselves to him, to love 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 him. Okay? Well, I need to love the people. Love him first. Because then you'll know how to love the people with endurance and with commitment, because that's what abiding means. What a difference will such a commitment make? I think that it will actually allow us to experience life and life more abundant. So maybe you haven't made a New Year's resolution yet. Maybe you didn't think about it. You don't need to lose any weight. You know, whatever. I do. I need to lose weight. So I've already been talking to myself about resolutions. Can you make one today? Even right now, can you make a priority for New Year's to love Adonai, our God, with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength? And to love his son Yeshua with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. I can't imagine anything more important than making him the center of our universe. If our delight in him increases, then here's what he said in John 15, then his delight in us increases as well. Me and my Father will really enjoy you if you're abiding in me. And congregation calls him Ha, will automatically move to an increased communion with the Lord. When we abide, when we stay in his love, then he will give us our desires of our heart, and we will be fulfilled. So if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. It shall be unto you. Book of Revelation has a better ending than by. The better ending is, even so, Paul sang a song, right? Even so, Yeshua come, all the angels cry at the mention of his name. Come and take your place in our heart. Oh, Yeshua. So even so, come Lord Yeshua. Amen and amen. May you have an awesome conclusion of 2026, 2025, and a great beginning to 2026. May this be the year of Jubilee. I picked the song on purpose. Not because it's a Shemitah or Jubilee year, but for us to have a Jubilee year. Okay? We can have a Jubilee year. We can have a happy year. We can have a everything with him if we choose to abide. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done. Not maybe, not. It shall be unto you. Amen. Please stand. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for congregation called Simcha. Thank you for their participation, their commitment, and everything this past 2025. Lord, I thank you that you have chosen to grow us. You have chosen to plug in this last month. You plugged in some just awesome people in the last 2 or 3 months that are here today. We're the ones that are here at the time, whether elsewhere. They didn't leave, they just elsewhere. And I'm thankful for what you have done, Lord. I recall that we made a discussion, myself and the leaders here, at a service not long ago, when it seemed like it was all over and there was people going elsewhere, and et cetera, et cetera. We had the most people we've had in a long time. That is true, isn't it? And it's like Adonai said, hang on. Hang on. Hang tight. Stick with me. Because you're about to go get on the very top, and then whew, like it was in the days of when Marilyn and I got married, we would go on every roller coaster like that. Now we look at him and go, so if we're going in a roller coaster, because he's going to choose one. And I tell you what, it's scary, but it's exhilarating. It makes the heart tingle and stuff. But when you're going and you look back, well, if you can, usually there's no time to look back. And you look and, wow, may that be what Kol Simcha experiences in 2026. Let's have the ride of our life. In Yeshua's name, I pray for all of you. Thank you so much for being part of us this past year. And we look forward to see you next year. Amen.